Yeah, we were watching a woman's marriage crumble.
Florida's fucking bananas with the toilet paper.
There's a lot of people I hate on that Yale list, I gotta admit. Hello and welcome. We are back from the BallerLifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. I don't know if we're going to number these. I say we number them. Episode 312 of the show, the fucking COVID-19 emergency version. There's nothing really happening in the world except for a pandemic that's laying waste to your neighborhood. So we're just hanging out. We're here. We're talking about movies. I'm joined now, as I am every week, by Mr. Ed Daly. Ed, what's up?
Hey. Yeah. So, like you said, we're doing movies now because after last week's show, I texted Brian and said, you know what? We've done like 15 stories and 14 were about coronavirus. Yeah. Nobody needs that anymore.
No.
So we're just gonna do movies. Oh, are we supposed to finish that tournament?
Oh, yeah. Do you have that?
I could pull it up.
Do you want to do, can we do like
Well, why don't you introduce
and, our guest?
We'll do a round.
Okay. Yeah. I forgot about that. Okay. We are also joined now by a close friend of the show, somebody you've heard here as a guest and even a co-host previously. Of course, I'm talking about Mr. Mark the Nomad. Mark, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me. I know you haven't introduced the movie, and I'll save my introduction for that. But I'm pretty depressed after watching it. I'm pretty bummed.
It's out. A pretty bad movie, and I'll just I'll save it.
Crazy movie.
I'll say it's insane. I'll save it. And what was the budget on that movie? $1? 87 cents?
Yeah, they didn't really have a lot of sets.
I could do better, like on my iPhone. They didn't have iPhones back then. What I was going to say is that the last time you were on, Mark, I think, was Roadhouse. We did Swayze.
Yeah, this is my second Swayze.
So you're basically our Swayze correspondent.
Yeah.
Not a good actor.
Great dancer.
But in some iconic movies, if you could do Point Break, I would definitely like to do Point Break.
We'll do it. Put it on the list, Point Break. Yeah. Okay. We'll get to that in a minute. Mark, I don't know if you listened last week, but Ed and I were playing off a fictitious NCAA tournament of which schools had the best alums. And I don't know if you heard, but your school, the Michigan Wolverines, University of Michigan, they were able to squeak through based on my assistance of reminding Ed and the listenership that Iggy Pop, while he didn't graduate, attended. No,
I mean, this is just people who attended.
Right. Attended the
university. A lot of people.
Right.
But I actually pushed for Utah State because the guy who invented the fucking television went to Utah State.
No, I know. What would we do? Right. What would we do without him? Okay, so Ed, let's run through that before we get to the movie.
This is the round of 32. We're going to just do a round. So Kansas versus Arizona State. Kansas, you had the Big Dipper, Paul Rudd, Don Johnson.
Big cock.
Arizona State had a lot. Phil Mickelson, Kate Spade, Jimmy Kimmel, David Spade, James Harden, Al Michaels, Pat Tillman, Barry Bonds, Nick Nolte, Linda Carter, Steve Allen, Reggie Jackson, Linda Ronstadt, Dustin Pedroia, Biff Tannen from Back to the Future, Stephanie Meyer from Twilight, and Scott Peters.
So I'm going to weigh in and say that I'm going to vote for Kansas here based on the fact, and I know I was real hot on Arizona State in the first round, but I'm reminded that James Harden attended Arizona State, the guy that shoots a jumper and then kicks his legs out to the nearest
fucking great
to the nearest fucking defender to try to get a foul, or he'll just like fall down in the middle of the court and no one's around him.
Cheer for the Lakers?
And then,
I mean, Kobe Bryant, that was his whole career.
No, not even close. Yeah. Not even nearly the same thing. But also, I'm not a Kobe Bryant fan. I mean, R.I.P. but one of my least favorite Lakers of all time.
Reggie Jackson was a real piece of shit.
Yeah.
Fitz Cannon was a bad actor. Twilight is a ripoff.
Awful.
Of all this awful shit.
And Paul Rudd. Awful. Paul Rudd. Dude. Okay.
Paul Rudd.
Kansas.
Paul Rudd is amazing.
Right. And Kansas moves on. Okay. They move on.
I'm a huge Nick Nolte guy, though. I can't overlook Nick Nolte at Arizona State, and I feel like just him in 48 hours.
And I like Al Michaels.
No, he's amazing.
Tough to go against him, but that's a tough matchup.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you got Scott Peterson and then also a worse human being, James Harden, that went to Arizona State. So fuck Arizona State. They're out.
Now, this was an upset team that really has no chance. They barely advanced. East Tennessee State, Kenny Chesney, Timothy Busfield versus Vermont. Although Vermont has the guys from Fish. John Dewey, goalie Tim Thomas, Martin St. Louis, the members of Fish, Seinfeld's wife Jessica, Dierks Bentley, Ben Affleck, Raleigh Massimino, Ryan Russillo, Mark Boone Jr., who plays the shady copper criminal in every movie.
I hate, other than Mark Boone and Affleck, I hated about seven people you named.
Yeah.
And Revenge of the Nerds for Busfield.
I mean, we're going Busfield? I think.
Yeah. Poindexter on the violin.
Chesney's still going.
I know, Chesney. But he's what's his name? Dierks Bentley's on the other side, and they basically cancel each other out because they both suck.
Correct.
Yep.
True. Illinois. Roger Ebert, the YouTube founders, Hugh Hefner, Red Grange, Nick Offerman, Dick Butkus, Larry Ellison, Shel Silverstein, Suze Orman. That's bad. Ang Lee, James Holzhauer, Alan Ruck,
I like
Cameron Frye, Donna Mills, Jack Welch. They are going against Arkansas, Little Rock.
Derek Fisher out.
Derek Fisher,
Illinois.
Brooks Robinson.
Illinois moves on.
Illinois
moves on.
Yeah.
Because one of the funniest tweets I've seen in a long time, I don't know if it's confirmed, but it was a random dude who said he was a producer for an Ang Lee film when he was doing The Hulk. And he said, I got fired from it when I walked into Ang Lee's trailer and he was having butt sex.
Wow. Is Ang Lee's a... Oh, wait. With a... Do we know with what? With didn't the say, opposite sex?
Didn't say.
I mean, it doesn't matter either way.
Doesn't matter. Not today.
But that's not a fireable thing. You know, it's kind of like when
if some PA is barging into the director's
trailer. I'm sure he knocked on the door. It's kind of like
he should be able to have anal sex when he wants to. He's the director.
He's a good director. I would say this though, it's always kind of worse. Like if anybody's ever walked in on you taking a shit, it's always worse for the person that walked in. It's not so bad for the person that's letting it go at the moment. It's much worse for the person that encounters it. Yeah.
But now that we've been stuck in the apartment together, it's happened to me twice this week.
And shut up.
It's fucking annoying.
Yeah.
Like, guys, get the fuck out.
Give me a minute.
How are you guys doing on toilet paper?
Give me a minute.
Fine. I don't go through a ton.
I don't either. I'm on Wipes Guy.
It's Mad Max.
I'm a Wipes Guy.
It's Mad Max here. You have to get to Walmart at like 7 a.m. But Florida's fucking in bananas with the toilet paper.
I
go the first run.
With initial. The toilet paper. Initial. I wanted to make chili. I was making chili the other day and I went to Trader Joe's and I got two cans of two kinds of beans. And they're like, oh no, you're only allowed to get two cans. And I go, yeah, I got two cans. And they're like, no, from all of the beans available, you can buy two cans, not two cans of each kinds of. And I'm like, well, I kind of need three cans to make a chili. And they're like, sorry. And I'm like, I get it. Okay, I understand. But who's hoarding the fucking beans? You know, there's not a food shortage, people. There's plenty of food. The only reason it's not on the shelves is because you fucking assholes bought it. Okay, go on. What's the next matchup?
We got Michigan. Versus Creighton. Michigan, Madonna, Tom Brady, Lucy Liu, Gerald Ford, Michael Phelps,
you don't even need to go Alan through.
Greer,
you don't even need to
go. Iggy Pop, Jack Kevorkian,
Kaczynski.
Unless you're
1893 Chicago World's Fair serial killer H.H. Holmes.
Unless you're about to tell me that Wood, the somewhat sullen black man, naked black man from the memes.
Have I probably have 45 pictures of Wood
now. I'll never get sick of him. I'll never get sick of him. I love him. Unless you're about to tell me that he went to Creighton and then Creighton's going to win the whole tournament, Michigan moves on.
Korver and Paul Silas.
Korver Fox. Yeah, Korver Fox. We know that.
We got the Polar Express guy, but that should get us to the 16.
What? Zemeckis?
Tom Hanks?
No, the guy who wrote the Polar Express, the book. Book.
Chris Van Allsburg?
Are you about to get me going on the Polar Express? Because this Polar Express was like a thing when my kids were kids.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey.
My kids love it. The hot chocolate song. And
yeah,
all
but
that.
Hold on. They're like, hey, it's Tom Hanks, but he looks like a cartoon. And I'm like, oh, cool. And they're like, but he acted it. He did motion capture, and then they made him look like a cartoon. And he plays all the characters. I'm like, oh, cool. But my question to you is this. If at the end he looks like a cartoon, why not just make a cartoon? Why do you got to go through the whole motion capture thing? Just fucking draw it Walt Disney style and make a goddamn cartoon. If it ends up looking like a cartoon, why are we motion capturing shit?
Yeah, I kind of like the Jim Carrey Christmas Carol where they made like all the Jim Carreys. I kind of liked it.
I haven't seen that. I don't know what that is.
They made what's his face do that when he played the dragon in the Hobbit movies. The Cumberbatch.
I didn't watch.
They motion captured him, and I was like, why?
Why? Yeah, he's just
a dragon.
He's a dragon. I didn't even know that Cumberbatch like voiced the dragon.
Yeah,
get
he was Smaug.
Fuck out of here. Didn't know that. I wish I didn't know that. Okay, so what's the question? What's at stake here?
Okay, Boston U. Gina Davis, yeah, Howard Stern, so Julianne Moore, Jason Alexander, Faye Dunaway, Emily Deschanel, Alfre Woodard, Olympia Dukakis, Michael Chiklis, Marissa Tomei, Mike Ruzzioni, Joan Baez, Jeffrey Ross, Andy Cohen, Mariel Hemingway, Rosie O'Donnell, Craig Bierko, Michaela Watkins, Pee Wee Herman, AOC, it's Martin great. Luther King it's got great. His PhD there. Yeah, Jack amazing. Eichel, Psy, rapper Psy.
Love Psy.
Robert Chambers, the preppy killer, and Bill O'Reilly. That's a tough. I mean, that could be a killer.
Yep.
Overwhelming.
Versus Arizona, Bruckheimer, Bob Dole, Gary Shandling, Geraldo Rivera, Christian Wiig, Greg Kinnear. That's a real barbell of people right there.
Geraldo Rivera cancels out Bill.
Bruckheimer, there's some pretty bad people.
I would have been in the Wiig camp before she showed up in that Imagine the Gal Gadot Imagine video this week.
I got through two celebrities.
Ooh.
I turned it off after the second celebrity. I clicked on it because I wanted to look at Gadot, but then I realized I didn't care. But outrage, I mean... Who gives a shit? People read Us Weekly. Like,
no, it's not. I wouldn't be out. There's nothing to be outraged about. But it's just it's so cringy. It's so horrible. And it's like, what? How did you think this was a good idea? Like, at some point, somebody's got to be like, hey, you know what? This thing that we're making is bad. Like, let's not put it out. But no one said that. But no. There's nothing to be outraged about.
Give it to BU. Yeah, I think BU still.
Yeah.
Yale versus Bradley. Bradley comes with Charlie Steiner, Hersey Hawkins, and Kirby Puckett. Yale, Meryl Streep, H.W. Bush, Ed Norton, Paul Newman, John Kerry, Jodie Foster, Clarence Thomas, Paul Krugman, Eli Whitney, Claire Danes, Anderson Cooper, Oliver Stone, Sigourney Weaver, Cole Porter, Paul Giamatti, Angela Bassett, Fareed Zakaria, Jennifer Connelly, Henry Winkler, Dick Cheney, Brett Kavanaugh, Vincent Price, Dick Cavett.
There's a lot of people I hate on that Yale list, I got to admit.
George W. Bush. Yale's got a lot of bad people.
Yeah, a lot of Yaleys.
I mean, who doesn't like the Fonz? But Clarence Thomas,
yeah, there's a lot of shitheads on Yale. And who's the other school that we're talking about? There was somebody I liked there.
Bradley, Charlie Steiner.
Well, I don't like Charlie Steiner, but I mean, Kirby Puckett. He turned out to be a bad guy, but the dude was 5'3" and he raked.
He was impressive, but he was like an assaulter.
Yeah, but hold on. Not during this is that was after his career that we found out about that during
same
his
with OJ.
During his career, Yeah, OJ had a Hall of Fame career.
You're looking at OJ. Is OJ in the good, like, likable camp or not?
No, I know.
Look at his post career.
Well, he's unlikable. But I'm saying, is who's a better alum? And I'm going to go to bat for Kirby Puckett here. Bad guy, but the dude was 5'3" and morbidly obese, like rotund, like a big fat ass. And you know what? You don't see that in baseball anymore. Fat guys cannot make the major leagues anymore. This guy was a big fat ass. He had an ass so big. He had the biggest, fattest ass, and he could rake. He could go yard,
he could move too.
Yeah, he could run the bases. He could make plays in the outfield. I can't remember what's Bradley University. I don't know what state that is. That's in. I don't care. I like Bradley to move on. Fuck Yale. Fuck the Yaleys. Fuck them all.
I'm fine. Your thoughts, Bradley?
Okay,
but I won't hear. I won't deal with an argument on the next one.
Okay,
Virginia versus Maryland. Virginia's got Tina Fey, Robert Kennedy, Ted Kennedy, Katie Couric, Edgar Allan Poe, Georgia O'Keeffe. Pretty good. Maryland.
Yeah. Ed Daly.
Ed Daly.
Larry David.
Yeah.
Jim Henson, Sergey Brin, Kevin Plank, Connie Chung, Goldie Hawn, David Simon, no. The Wire.
I mean, that's King, give it to Maryland. Price. Give it to Maryland.
Carl Bernstein, Woodward and Bernstein.
Larry David and David Simon. That's all I need. No one's entertained me more than those two guys.
Yeah.
And
Google, yeah. As much as Sergey Brin's a real douche, Google's kind of important.
It is. You use it a lot.
I like Van Pelt too. I'm a Scott Van Pelt guy.
He's okay.
That's the only tolerable guy I can do on ESPN.
He's okay.
I'm not a Van Pelt guy, but yeah.
He's okay. He's
Maryland beat Virginia.
He's better than Russillo. We got rid of Russillo's school wherever he went, right? Because that guy's unbearable.
He was Vermont.
Yeah.
Providence versus Florida State. Providence is
God Sham God.
God Sham God. Billy Donovan, John O'Hurley, and Lenny Wilkins. Florida State's got Burt Reynolds. Cheryl Hines.
No, I mean
Lee Corso.
Yeah.
Richard Simmons. Deion Sanders, Paul Gleason. Gleason.
Yeah, the principal.
Scott Stapp, not so good.
Even better.
Jim Morrison went there even for a better. Bit, I think.
Hunter S. Thompson, Robert Urich, Faye Dunaway.
Give it to Florida State all the way. FSU. Yeah,
no. Okay, we're halfway through. Winthrop versus St. Mary's. St. Mary's has Mahershala Ali. And yeah. Winthrop,
the Gales,
Andy McDowell.
Andy McDowell, underrated babe. I feel like I didn't realize how hot she was when I was a kid, and now I look back and I see her and stuff, and I'm like, that chick is a babe. Give it to Andy McDowell. I love Mahershala Ali, also a babe.
Yeah, I like Mahershala.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he played for them, so
yeah.
Auburn versus Liberty. Auburn, we know Chuck and.
Madison from the most recent passer. Yeah.
Tim Cook, Octavia Spencer, Lionel Richie, Frank Thomas, Jimmy Buffett. Tony Tennille of Captain and Tennille fame, Victoria Jackson versus, but it's against the Liberty Flames. That's Falwell University. Yeah. That's Jerry Falwell, Sam Ponder, Sid Bream.
We
didn't even make it to the second round.
Well, because we gave it to Sid Bream for beating out that throw from Bonds. Like that was impressive. But that's as far as they're going to go. Their Cinderella run ends here. Whoever is against Liberty wins.
Rutgers, you got James Gandolfini, Milton Friedman, Natalie Morales, David Stern, Mario Batali, Ray Rice, Cheryl Lee Ralph, Bill Bellamy, Roy Scheider, Calista Flockhart, Jim Valvano, Praz from the Fugees, and Elizabeth Warren at some point versus North Texas, which we
Dr. Phil
was like a diploma mill. Dr. Phil, Nora Jones, Pat Boone, Don Henley, Mean Joe Green, Larry McMurtry, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Peter Weller, Meatloaf, Thomas Hayden Church, Roy Orbison, Don Baker.
It's a tough one.
I love Thomas Hayden Church from Wings.
He's great. He's great. He's on Divorce. He's amazing on Divorce.
Sideways and fantastic.
Great. Nora Jones, I would high key have intercourse with. I find her very attractive. I also think John she's Henry.
real bad.
Don Henley, he's the worst. God, he sucks. Who are they going against? Oh, Gandolfini.
I think we got to go Rutgers.
Rest in peace.
Okay, here's the thing. Here's what we're going to do, Ed.
What?
You take Rutgers. I'm going to take North Texas based on Thomas Hayden Church, the legend that is Dr. Phil, and Nora Jones, who I would high-key bang. And Peter Weller, RoboCop. And then this is why we have a third person. We got Mark the Nomad here. Mark, be the tiebreaker. You choose North Texas or what was the other one?
Rutgers. Peter Weller went where?
He went to North Texas.
All right, I'm going with Buckaroo Banzai.
Whoa!
Oh,
RoboCop. North Texas. Tiebreaker. Yep. Wow.
All right, North Texas it is. The Trojans, USC versus Villanova. Now, Villanova.
I'll take the other team. Oh, wait.
Villanova, yeah. Howie Long, Bradley Cooper, Maria Bello.
Banging. One of the hottest chicks.
Toby Keith went to Villanova.
That's crazy. That's insane.
USC, George Lucas, Will Ferrell, John Ritter.
OJ.
OJ, Neil Armstrong, Forrest Whitaker, John Wayne, who sucked.
Yeah.
Robert Zemeckis, Judd Apatow, LeVar Burton, Ron Howard, Frank Gehry, Kira Sedgwick, Daryl Hannah, Timothy Oliphant, Eric Stoltz, Shinzo Abe, America Ferrera, Tom Selleck, Sybil Shepherd, John Singleton, Brian Singer,
bad guy.
John Carpenter, Dr. Drew, who sucks too.
Right.
It's got to be USC though.
I got USC in the fucking Yale category right here.
There's not enough bad in there. I agree.
There's a lot Brian bad in Singer, there.
I mean, Ron Howard? Fucking Obi Cunningham?
He's great. He's
John great. Ritter?
I had to go USC. If I had to vote, I would go USC.
Okay, you get a vote. You two beats one. So USC moves on, even though there's a lot of douches on that list.
Gonzaga, which is just, I think, Stockton, right?
Jesuit school.
Bobbity boom, big junior, come to right hook.
Come in here, let me beat you with the belt, son. Blibbity boo.
Kathy Crosby, I know you were in that Elvis movie, but I'm going to kick the shit out of you.
versus Colorado, you got Robert Redford, Matt Stone, Trey Parker, Christopher Maloney.
Yeah.
Goodbye, Gonzaga.
Yeah, I got to agree. Gonzaga. Fucking Colorado, like those South Park guys, they don't get enough credit.
Stephen F. Austin is Jeremiah Trotter, again, Don Henley, and Bum Phillips.
I love Bum Phillips.
They only advanced because they were going against Sandusky in the first round.
All right.
Versus Oregon, Phil Knight, Chuck Palahniuk, Lindsey Wagner, David Ogden Steers, Howard Hessman, Ben Hogan, Stephen J. Cannell, legend.
Yep.
I Burrell, Dan Fouts.
Yep.
That is an easy win for Oregon.
Dr. Johnny Fever. Yep.
BYU, Steve Young, Mitt Romney, Aaron Eckert, John Hader, a.k.a. Napoleon Dynamite, Danny Ainge, Philo Farnsworth. Oh, he was the TV guy.
BYU invented the TV. Smart,
Jim McMahon versus Hofstra, which is all I can think of is Wayne Cabret. Coppola, Christopher Walken, Robert Dobby, James Caan, Katie Nolan, Carol Alt, Nolan Caan, Chris Albrecht. And who's this last one? Bernie Madoff.
Hold on. Let me just say something here. Hofstra, what was the first school?
BYU.
BYU. So I was watching a little bit of The Dark Knight last night, and Aaron Eckert's in there, and his
beautiful.
He's gorgeous, but his hair is so highlighted in that movie, it's crazy. But then also, imagine the kind of work that goes in to having to shave that chin pussy that he has.
That's
like,
right. You're sculpting.
I mean, every day. So I'm not like a real hairy, hirsute guy. So I shave in the shower and I don't have a mirror or anything. I just kind of feel my way around with my offhand. And it's like, oh, do I feel hair here? And I just shave around. But this Aaron Eckhart, he's got to have several mirrors. He's got to have like the zooming one. That chin is just so beyond anything. But here's the thing. Here's what I'm going to put out there. And here's why I'm going to vote for Hofstra, despite Aaron Eckhart's beauty. I believe you left off one Hofstra alum, unless I'm mistaken. I believe that Gary Delabate Baba Booey attended Hofstra University.
I thought he went to like Pace, but I will check.
You could be, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Either way,
Hofstra is low key kind of loaded.
Yeah. Either way,
Madoff at the end.
Although Bernie Madoff is a bad one.
He's a real piece of shit. That said, I still, Hofstra has my vote in this.
He went to Adelphi.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, I think Hofstra's got to advance. Last matchup, Iowa versus San Diego State. So we know Kutcher. Iowa is Ashton Kutcher, Tennessee Williams, Tom Arnold, Diablo Cody, who I can't stand.
Worst writer.
Gene Wilder.
Sorkin level awful. Yeah.
Tuck to the hand. We're getting an abortion. Like, what? Yeah,
horrible. Horrible.
Brad Pitt school? Harris.
George Papadopoulos. Okay. Going
Brad Pitt went to Missouri.
Okay.
Yeah.
San Diego State, Raquel Welsh, Mrs. Cunningham, Marion Russ, Gregory Peck, Marshall Faulk, Cleavon Little, Julie Kavner, Fred Dreyer, and what's his name? Kawhi Leonard.
Marshall Faulk at San Diego State was so fucking dominant. And, you know, it was a pre-internet time.
300 every time. Yeah, it was the late night ESPN. You got home.
You had to watch it.
Yep.
You had to watch SportsCenter to see what Marshall Faulk did that day. It's people will never realize, like, how next level this guy was in the college game. And, like, every other school he got recruited to wanted to play cornerback or something. Give it to San Diego State. I like San Diego State there.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep. Heck.
Okay.
All right. You're into the Sweet 16.
All right. So, hold on. We've been wanting to do this one for a while. So, last week I was out of town, guys. And I broke my phone. Mm-hmm. And, like, it was in my back pocket. And I, like, broke into a Sprint for reasons that I will not state here, and it flew out of my back pocket and I smashed my phone. And then I was worried that they were going to close every airport in the world and I wasn't going to be able to leave the place I was in. And then I couldn't type anything. Like, I would just open my phone and my phone would randomly start typing like hundreds of letters and opening and closing apps and like all sorts of weird shit was happening. So I got a new phone. I didn't get a new phone. I had a guy come over here. A giant, super jacked Arab guy came over to my, didn't come in my house. He came over in like a van, the phone ambulance, and he put a new screen on my phone. It was like $200. But this new screen is so sensitive that every time I go, and I'm a heavy-handed dude. Like, I don't do shit soft. I do shit firm. And so when I cannot touch a thing. Every time I touch an app, it's like I'm trying to delete the app because it starts doing that thing where it's like shaking and it's like, and I'm just barely touching it. So anyway, I'm trying to play the trailer off my phone for, and hold on, there's the Books commercial.
While you're doing that, I'll give you a little backstory.
Oh, tell me.
So we were originally going to do RoboCop.
Yeah.
And I watched it with my son, and my problem with it was
great.
It's just a good movie. Yeah. It's
so good.
I mean, Clarence Boddicker overacts. I mean, there's a lot of overacting. And some of it is like a little dated in their views of the future, but overall it's just a solid movie, and it's tough to make an interesting podcast out of a kind of solid movie.
It's a really good movie. And although I
that's why you couldn't do Roadhouse, because it's too good.
It's too good. Yeah. That's again, I do like Jason Stewart's assessment of RoboCop, where he said that he likes that their view of the future is souped up Tauruses. Jay Stu can be funny once in a while. This is also a classic. This is one people have been clamoring for 4 years. It is
I hadn't seen this in definitely over 3 decades.
Yeah. I So really? I saw like the first part of it, like recently, like maybe a year ago on a ski trip, and my, it was on, and I was like telling, and I was drunk, you know, this is going to be my kid's therapy. This is going to be my kid's therapy for the rest of his life. And I was drunk and I started pontificating and I'm like, oh, fucking Red Dawn, this is amazing. And I was like, you know, like I knew it was shitty, but I didn't know it was that shitty. So I watched a little bit of it, but I didn't get into the stuff we're going to get into today. I didn't get that deep into the movie. This movie is insane.
It's bonkers.
Yeah. If you're a certain age and you lived through the Cold War, shit was weird. Not as weird as it is right now, where just the whole world's insane. But we, you know, there was the threat of nuclear war, the commies, the Soviets were coming to get us. Like, it was a whole thing. And then one day, for some reason, out of the blue, the Soviet Union and its allies, apparently.
Hang on a second. So my, yeah. I don't know about you guys. My memory was, it was the Soviets and the Cubans for some reason.
Me too.
Because they're close.
Yeah.
So it's like Cubans, but Cuba is not a thing, like in terms of power.
No.
But then I realized Nicaragua was the third part of the triumvirate.
I didn't realize that till you said it. Till you said it. And then I was like, wait, these guys have different uniforms. And I'm like, what? But they're also speaking Spanish. And I'm like, oh, this must be the Nicaraguans Ed was talking about. Okay, of course.
It's in this weird world where, like, there was a coup in Mexico that let them side with them and come through.
Yeah, and also, you know, when we're kids and you watch this, you're thinking, okay, this all makes sense. But then when a movie opens and there are four title cards where they explain, well, this had to happen, and this had to happen, and this had to happen, it's the most ridiculous start of a movie before you even see people.
Also, at some point, about two-thirds of the way through the movie, they allude that the Russians somehow murked 400 million Chinese in the process.
That's right. They took them out.
And oh, by the way, 20% of the Earth's population have been wiped out in this thing. That's also that their other target was a high school in Colorado. Okay. Of course, we're talking about Red Dawn, the amazing 1984 movie. Four. Red Dawn. Let me play the trailer. If I can. Oh. It's like a little town. It's like a little small podunk town. It's a place you would be really bummed to have to grow up. Let's be honest. If you grew up in this town, I'm really sorry for you because you're from a place that sucks.
What's going on here, my friend?
Yeah, there's a lot of that. I mean, I don't want to get too into it, but can we talk about the Cubans' choice of camouflage quickly? Because I'm just looking at it right now. It's camouflage.
Is this the winter camouflage? Or?
It's like both. It's camouflage, but then it has white clouds all over it. What?
Yeah,
how do you have white in your camouflage?
Well, if it's snow camouflage.
But it isn't. It's green. It's green with white clouds all over it.
Okay. You just use what you got.
Okay, all right.
This is the emergency broadcast system. We are under attack by conventional forces of the Russian army. It is believed the lead waves were disguised as commercial charter flights. Communications have broken down with other parts of the country. Large areas of the Midwest may have been overrun.
Know who all of you are. They're looking for you.
That was insane. That was crazy.
You're 40 miles behind the enemy line.
I just want to go home. They took a lot of people away.
Where's my dad, Mr. Eckert?
I want to love somebody, Andy. I'm going to die before it happens.
The Russians were so rapey.
So why should we be different?
Because
Jennifer Grey.
We live
with her old nose. Oh my god. Yeah, you get it. There's a lot of AK-47s. Like, at least the A-Team, they were like a crack commando squad. They knew how to use their weaponry.
Right, we were starting with the starting point of the A-Team was these guys knew how to do shit.
Yeah.
This movie, we're starting with high school kids.
These kids are in high school. So, Red Dawn is the movie we're talking about. It's a
title card. Any movie that starts with this, you should probably be warned. Soviets had a bad wheat harvest. That's like the first thing. We're going to set the scene. Okay, yeah. There was a bad wheat harvest.
Yeah. Yeah.
That shouldn't be the start of any movie.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
This movie came out in 1984. They're calling it a war film. I guess it is. Directed by John Milius. That's a real director.
Stud.
Yeah.
John Milius is a stud.
Yeah.
He's not known for his directing, but this dude wrote Apocalypse Now. He's like a legit writer. I mean, maybe not the best director.
He directed Apocalypse Conan. Now was adapted from
a book. Yeah.
Heart of Darkness.
Yeah. He also wrote Big Wednesday, or directed Big Wednesday. That's a classic. Dirty Harry.
Yeah.
Another classic. Okay. No, he's a real dude. He's got bona fides. And then the stars were.
It's an impressive cast.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and it was kind of like at the beginning of their runs. So,
right.
Patrick Swayze, who went on to become a legend, obviously.
Right.
Charlie Sheen.
Yes.
You know, well known guy. He was in Platoon, Major Soul League.
Man.
Yep. C. Thomas Howell, who went on to star in the previously discussed on this show many years ago, Soul Man, which I'll go to bat for. It's not a good movie.
It's fun, though.
It's not as bad as you're picturing when you're like, hey, in the 80s, they made a movie where a guy dyed himself black so he could go to Harvard. And you're like, what? They can't do that. But then you watch it and you're like, oh, I kind of get it. It's not that bad. Leah Thompson, babe. Jennifer Grey, Jeannie Bueller, also a babe.
I'm a big fan.
Harry Dean.
There was another guy that it was killing me who he was. He was part of the Outsiders with C. Thomas Howell.
Oh, what is
the tallish guy.
Daryl?
Maybe his dad. His dad. Yeah, Daryl.
His dad was the mayor?
Dad was a mayor. He was one of the Outsiders, too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Was he one of the Soches or was he a greaser?
Yeah, greaser or Soche.
He was part of that movie. I don't know.
Also, star turn for Powers Booth showing up later in the movie.
Yeah.
It
was a turn. I don't know if it's a star.
Craziest. Movie. Just, I don't even understand. I still don't get why that character was there. The film. So basically, it's. This takes. And I don't even know. I have to ask you guys. This takes place in Colorado, right?
It's a mining town in Colorado.
Yeah. So it's like.
They say Soviets had a bad wheat harvest. Yeah. Poland has labor and food riots, and the Soviets invade. That actually happened. That was
right.
Lech Walesa. That was the whole thing with Poland. Cuba and Nicaragua reached troop strength goals of 500,000.
That's a lot.
El Salvador and Honduras, but we still, even at the time, probably had 2 million, 2.5 million.
Yeah.
El Salvador and Honduras fall. Okay. That I don't know why that would affect the United States.
I feel like you could do that with a push broom.
Yeah. here was the craziest of all of those things, because I could believe a bad wheat harvest, all that. West Germany goes full peaceful, demanding withdrawal of nukes across Europe. So everybody's like, all right, fuck it. We're getting rid of nukes because West Germany says so.
Again, how does that affect us? But I get it.
And we were talking like, what, 40 years after World War II?
Yeah.
West Germany says everybody's got to get rid of their weapons.
Right.
And everybody's like, you know what? That's cool. I mean, when was the last time Germany did anything?
Right.
Wrong?
That's why we still don't even let them barely have an army over there. Yeah. Yeah. I get it. Yeah.
And then
apparently the movie
collapses.
Takes place in 89. Like, this is supposed to be.
Oh, it's in the future?
Far into the future.
Oh.
But it's in the future.
I didn't know that.
But this is what they think would happen.
Mexico collapses. Okay. NATO dissolves. So now it's just starting to look like the Putin Trump fantasy movie.
Right. Right.
They got to pay their share, man. They got to start paying their share.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so how this,
but I understand that, like, I'm not anti-NATO, but also NATO is not the only line of defense between Russia, Soviet Union, and Colorado.
No, we have something called the Pacific Ocean, and we have another thing called the Atlantic Ocean. Like, it's not
right.
There's a reason we don't fight wars here, because it's fucking hard to get to.
There's a reason troops have never gotten to Calumet, Colorado.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Right. So hold on. We'll get into that. We'll get into that. But I want to see how this movie did at the box office. And also, news to me. Oh, a couple things. Harry Dean Stanton is in this movie for one scene. And I just imagine that they just sent him a check and a pile of cocaine and a bottle of Jack Daniels. And we're just like,
I mean, he ran deep with Hopper, I believe.
Yeah. They're like, just be here on this day and we'll make sure there's cocaine there. And Harry Dean was like, okay, I'll be there.
I have a feeling that they just shuffled him between this and the Pretty in Pink set. And he didn't even know which one he was shooting.
He only does the one character. So like, it made sense.
Avenge me to what's her name? Yes. And she was like, what? They're like, oh, wrong movie.
Yeah, exactly. Molly Ringwald. So this was a summer release, August 10th, 1984. Budget. You guys want to do over, under? Just take a guess. Ed, what is your guess? What was the budget for this movie?
Well, they had to pay the actors, so I'm going to say
$1,300. $1,300 could be high. You want to do Price is Right rules? What are your thoughts? Mark the Nomad. What was the budget?
I'm just going to try to say that this was a $2 million movie.
$2 million. You're both way under it. The movie budget was $17 million.
So I assume it's like tank rental, right? Because Because the stars.
They shot it all in one town.
Pretty good job by the casting director, but no, none of these people had a high price tag at the time.
I feel
Howard Booth. What could he have been?
No, he was new on the scene.
Blew up a jet.
I feel
it would cost a lot of money.
Right. I feel like Harry Dean was he's the most well-known guy in the movie. I feel like he probably got like $23,000 to show up and do his one scene, and then just like the rest, you know, of the guys work for scale. The movie, and I remember this being quite a big hit. It was definitely, but maybe because I was 10 years old or 9 years old.
We were all like single digits.
Yeah. Yeah. It only made $38 million at the box office. So it made money.
Success back
in the day. Yeah. It made money, but it wasn't like a super big.
I must have romanticized this movie because I thought it was like super legit. And like a year ago, I got my kids and together, I'm like, we're going to watch Red Dawn. And they were just so bummed out by the end of it. Like there was nothing redeeming about it. I remember it being like my go-to, I stayed homesick from school movie. And like, I'm sick on the couch. I'll watch Red Dawn.
Yeah.
This was like an HBO staple.
Oh yeah, totally. I remember being like, really excited that this was coming out.
80s or early 90s were like way into this.
I remember like my friends having it on VHS and them being like, dude, you want to come over and watch Red Dawn? And I'd be like, yeah. And I think because it's like you're young and you're like, oh, I would do that. Like I would go out and fucking shoot Russians in the mountains because it's, you know, it's for my country or whatever. A couple things here from the Wikipedia. They shot this. I was wondering where they shot this. It looked very cold, despite the fact that this movie takes place over the course of like a year of time. It looked freezing the entire time. It looked very uncomfortable. They shot it in the city of Las Vegas, New Mexico.
Okay.
Which makes sense.
It's always kind of bullshit when there's like a town called Las Vegas and it's not like, oh, we shot this in Chicago, Ohio, or whatever. Yeah. Like just
Manhattan, Kansas.
Change the name. The cast underwent an intensive 8-week military training course.
Get out of here. What?
That's like when Spielberg makes like Vin Diesel go to boot camp and stuff. Like it's, you're acting. You're acting. You're not actually in the military. You just go and act. You pretend like you're in the military. Read a book or something. They shot a lot. An old Safeway store was made a soundstage. Oh, interesting.
Where is the budget? They shot a lot of this in an abandoned supermarket.
Yeah.
And the town looked like shit. The town looked really like just abandoned and terrible.
And most of the scenes were outside.
Yeah, I don't remember there being a lot of indoor stuff.
Yeah, other than like Mr. Mason's house.
Stand over by that pine tree.
That's kind of weird. So Leah Thompson says that the original cut featured a love scene between her and Powers Booth.
You know what?
I mean, she was in high school.
Notes about it. Is Powers Booth going to try to fuck her?
Well, but she was trying to fuck Powers Booth.
Right, but there was a whole thing going on that just didn't seem like it was weird. A good idea.
It was weird. Yeah, she was like high school age, or they don't say because she didn't go to their high school because they Inglorious Bastards her from under the floorboards at some point. But I assume she was like the same age as the other kids, but we'll get to that. And then here's something that's very prescient to what I saw. Some of the weaponry devised for the film did not work. Futuristic helicopters created did not have FFA approval to fly over people. The budget eventually, so it went way over budget. Original budget was $11 million. They bumped it up to $15 million and ended up coming in at $19 million. Although, big hit, Red Dawn was the 20th highest grossing film of 1984, came out August 10th, did very well, $38 million it made at the box office. The Rotten Tomatoes score, 46%.
I was going to say 50.
Yeah, it's low.
Well, the remake got 12.
Oh yeah. I didn't even know. My son was like, oh, you're watching Red Dawn? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, you know they remade this. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, Channing Tatum's in it. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't know that. It's bad. It's bad to extremely bad. Patrick Swayze's there. And he's
a loser.
He's
like he's the guy who played high school football. He's
still into it. Yeah.
That is hasn't left. He hasn't done anything, and he's still looking at the local scoreboard and being like, man, we didn't lose that bad when I was there. Like, he's a complete loser.
But also, he's like, so, what's the age difference? So he's Charlie Sheen's older brother, and he's got a sweet Chevy stepside, and he drives the guys to school, and he's like, hey, I got to go to my job at the station. Is he a cop?
It's really sad.
No, he's not a cop.
Well, he says the station.
Or something.
He's answering phones. He's a loser.
But he says he's going to the job at the station, and then the guys are like, come on, Mr. Quarterback. Like, you're not... You know, you lost some games too when you played football here. But what are they 20 years apart as brothers? Because it's presented.
I think I wrote down somewhere. I think they say they're 6 years apart.
Okay. So
at most he's 24 and Sheen is 18.
So Patrick Swayze was born in 1952.
That's crazy.
So he was 34, 32 when they made this movie. And he's supposed to be like a couple years out of high school.
But the actors, most of them probably were around high school age, right? They all looked pretty young.
Yeah.
Sheen looked real young in this.
Yeah, yeah, he was young, which is weird for the 80s because they cast like Judd Nelson at like 29 years old or something to play a high school kid. It's weird. And so then they're like, super young. One thing about this movie that's okay is that they, for a lot of times shitty movies will like take a long time to set things up. It's like kind of like when you're looking for a recipe on the internet and you go like, how do I make this sauce?
And it's what the story is before every recipe. Yeah, now.
It's seven paragraphs of like how your dad taught you how to make this.
Yeah, my aunt taught me this. What? Just get this fucking recipe.
Put the fucking flour. Put the ingredients. Put the ingredients. I'm hungry. Yeah. So, but this movie gets right into it. They're at school. They get dropped off to school. They're in school, and their teacher, Rosie Greer.
No, the teacher is played by, I recognize him right away. It's the black guy who played the guard alongside John Candy in Vacation, where he's like, he made me roll over like a dog.
Yes, right. Oh, good.
And he was also one of Timothy Dalton's buddies in the second James Bond movie he did that was bad.
Oh, License. The one that just everyone's on the tip of my tongue. The Living Daylights?
License to Kill, the second one. The one they were like, yeah, no more Bonds with this guy. He's a bummer.
Yeah, he was a real bummer.
I want to say maybe he was the angry captain in 48 Hours. Like the original slam your hand on the table. Like, you got 48 hours.
Yeah. Is that him? I think you're just thinking of a different black guy. Yeah, which,
racist. So racist. I'm
sorry.
So
maybe we'll cut that in post.
Todd too?
Their teacher's like giving him a lesson on like Alexander the Great or the Huns or something, and how they figured out how to like swarm their enemy. And then all of a sudden, paratroopers start landing.
Nope. Now, I'm not a racist. What are your teachers doing?
It's the same dude.
I am not a racist.
It's the guy.
So maybe you guys are the racists for not really recognizing it.
You know what? Nothing motivates a white person more than when they get called racist.
That's true. You don't want to be that.
You don't want to be that guy.
How many of your teachers would have just left the school to go confront guys with guns and paratroopers?
No.
He just went right into their grill.
My teachers would have gotten their Honda Civic and headed back to their apartment. Because there's no way they would have confronted Russian and Cuban paratroopers outside of the school.
My fifth grade teacher would have asked for a ride. Fucking yeah. Janitor. Yeah. That was fun scam. Yeah, we were watching a woman's marriage crumble.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
And it was pretty awesome.
But is it typical? Like, I'm not really up to date on modern war theory, military strategy. But is it typical for invading armies to start with local podunk high schools?
Yeah, well, the thing is, mining towns that are really hard to get to are the best place to start. So it's yeah. The perfect place to start.
It was a weird setup. And then what's the end game? Because they cruise up against unarmed children and they just start machine gunning everybody.
Yeah, it's very violent, very aggressive. Like, I'm not sure what resistance they thought they were going to get at the high school. Right.
They're mowing everybody down, and then at some point, you know, when they like go in hiding for a couple months, they come back, and then people are allowed to go into the shops. Very and weird. Just like everybody's whispering. Very weird.
Yeah.
So they like murdered at some point, and then they're like, no, we're just going to like let everybody shop.
And also, like, what was their strategy? Because they're like, we're gonna invade a Colorado mining town and then we're just gonna live here,
right? It didn't seem like they had a lot of resources. There were no cars in the town. It was clear that they were going for low budget locations because there was just no activity around. It was abandoned.
It was weird. They were taking over like the locals' vehicles and stuff, but they also had tanks somehow. I'm very confusing.
But yeah. It was something relevant to today because what was the first move? They jump in the pickup truck. What is their first move? They go to the store and they start overloading on canned goods.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of it.
And then
no toilet paper, though. They right. did not go crazy on toilet paper.
What was it necessary to devote that much space in the bed of Patrick Swayze's truck to Cokes and Sprites? And they had cases.
There were a lot of sodas, yeah.
Stacks of sodas. And just in case they wanted to whip the pigskin around, they grabbed a football.
Yep.
You know, like, we're going to need some stuff to do.
And also, so the intro, they said like NATO fell apart. But did that mean there were no air traffic controllers? There was nobody to notify Colorado.
Yeah, they're like, oh, they hid in passenger planes. How many? Thousands?
Yeah, commercial airlines.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. Then immediately they're bugging out. They're like, we got to get to the mountains. Let's go. And they hit a roadblock. And then they go like bouncing where easily they go bouncing across. They turn left to get away from the roadblock and they go bouncing across an open field. And for sure, if a stuntman wasn't killed filming that, for sure the high school kids in the back of the truck would have been killed if that were an actual thing, because it was like bouncing down the road. And eventually they get I don't know if the radiator gets shot or something. But
yeah, but when they turn off the road, the Soviets / Cuban / Nicaraguans, they see him, start shooting at him, but they don't pursue.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
They have like 700 military guys there, and nobody's like, well, it's a pickup truck. We'll just let it go.
And they only got like a couple hundred yards away. And then, so their radiator is disabled. And then, yeah, and
Danny,
somehow,
the only unknown guy.
Right. Somehow, Patrick Swayze is able to fix it with like some gum. They didn't show him having any JB Weld, and he wasn't actually under the hood. He was just like pushing on the grill of the car, which I can assure you does not fix the radiator, but he's like pushing on it and he's like, okay, I think we got it. And then he goes,
Danny.
He goes, well, now the only problem is we don't have any water. And it's like, you fucking guys are trying to escape to the mountains to live, to escape the Russians. You just went to a survivalist store where you weaponized yourself. You got all the gear, sleeping bags, jackets, everything you need.
And then you got Tab and Coke.
Yeah, you didn't grab any water. You got sun-kissed for days.
Well, there weren't actually. I will defend them here. There was no such thing as water in a store then.
Yeah. Yeah, but you figure they would have filled up some jugs.
Something.
But no, they didn't have any water. So Danny, Danny, who's clearly the weak link of the group, and he's like trying to talk shit a little bit, and he gets slapped down by Patrick Swayze. He's elected to piss in the radiator. But where you're concerned about Danny's survival in the group at this point, because he just seems like the weak link.
And also because he's the only guy who didn't become famous from the movie.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
His IMD picture is rough.
Oh, yeah. He's very old and bald.
Yeah. It didn't go well.
No.
He lost the youthful look.
Yep. And then, so we're kind of introduced to the bad guys. It's like a Cuban generalissimo, the colonel. And his whole thing is like, hey, they're like they're burning the town and they're raping the women and stuff. And he's like stomping around in his beret and his underlings like, what do you want us to do next, boss? And he's like, go in Spanish. He's like, go to the sporting goods store and get all the gun registration forms to find out like who in the town has guns. Like,
yeah, it's a lot of micro.
What? Work. Yeah. Like, who these fucking are people cares?
Taking over the world, yeah. And they're worrying about a Colorado mining town gun registry. Yeah. But you're talking about the guy in the beret with the mustache, and if you look a little harder, you're like, you know what? He looks familiar. Did a little digging. That's Priest from Superfly.
What?
Colonel Bella. Or Bea or whatever.
Yeah.
That's Priest from Superfly. Whoa. That's Superfly.
Whoa. Who knew?
Nice.
Wow. Curtis and Blow. And
Bella's partner, the Nicaraguan captain, that's the escaped convict from Pee-wee's Big Adventure, the guy who ripped the mattress tag off.
I recognized him.
Yeah.
He's a loner.
A rebel.
Yeah. And I'm just looking at my notes. Calumet, Colorado seems to have cornered the market in denim jackets.
A lot. There was a lot.
Denim jackets.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just bail on like the kids' dads are running after the truck. Like, help. And they're like, fuck you, dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Fuck off, dad.
So they bug out to the mountains. And then as soon as they get there, Danny Pussy and the ASB president are like, actually, like, this is bullshit. What's the plan? We want out of here. Let's go back. Like, they just went, like, you didn't have to come.
And this movie, this is where you start really seeing the red flags when you're watching. You're like, this movie's going like 45 minutes too long because they're gumming around in the woods for a long time with no point of the plot. Yes. Like, what is going on?
And they make a campfire, and the campfire is like kind of like right directly in the middle of all their supplies. And it just doesn't seem like they have a really good plan. And then the next thing you know, it says it's October. And so I don't
They've been dicking around for a month.
Oh, so it was in September. So it was like the beginning of school,
the beginning of the school year.
Right. Oh, right. Because it was football season. Okay. Yeah. Then it's October, and is that when they kill their first deer? Yeah.
Oh, and then the town loser Swayze is it Danny drink the blood?
No, C. Thomas Howell. So.
Oh, right. And what's with C. Thomas Howell's wearing of that Star Wars hat?
He's wearing a Star Wars hat.
Brim up.
But then also they like make like ghillie suits for themselves, which is weird. They have like twigs in their hats and stuff to hide from the deer, and they bag a deer. And then Swayze and Sheen bully C. Thomas Howell into drinking the blood of the deer. And then Sheen is like, you know, my pappy said you'd never be the same after you drink the blood of a deer after your first kill. He's like, it's the day before your first kill and then the rest of your life after you drink the blood. And then C. Thomas Howell drinks the blood, and then it kind of is true because then he becomes a sociopath for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
Right. He's a full military sociopath now.
Yeah. And so then the next scene, and I'm assuming it's that night, they're at the campfire, and all the younger people are like, guys, we need food. We have to go to town. And I'm like, 84 seconds ago, you guys fucking killed an 800-pound elk. Like,
and also,
food doesn't seem like the problem.
They showed that they had been there for at least a month, and we haven't seen a sign of one U.S. military presence.
It's weird. It's weird. Like,
Powers Booth doesn't show up for like another 2 months.
Yeah, we got.
Nobody shows up at the headquarters of the bad guys. Yeah. Not one strike, not one attempt. It's just like, yeah, these high school kids are going to have to save.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
They're like, hey, look, I think the bunch of troops landed in Calumet. You want to go help them? And they're like, what the fuck is that?
There's this dude who played high school football 4 years ago that I think he's got a handle on it.
At one point,
Uncle Rico, let's go help Uncle Rico.
At one point later, when it's January in the movie, they're like visiting with that old guy that they're friends with, Mr. Mason. And they're like, he's like, word is they might drop some special forces in here in the spring. And I've already been out there for 4 months.
That's the old guy who's doing the Inglourious Basterds. He hides the two girls, and he's like, I'm going to unleash. I have a good feeling about a bunch of high school kids with these two young, cute girls. Yeah. I'm gonna let them hang with you.
Take my granddaughters with you.
They're not safe.
What I want to do with my granddaughters is give them to horny guys who haven't had sex in a while and are holding weapons.
So then they decide. So it's agreed, even though they just killed an elk, that they're hungry. They got to see what's up, and they're like, "Let's go to town." So they go to town, and they basically do nothing to hide their identities. They're just like, "Hey, we're just gonna walk into town." They're like, "Hey, it's me."
But they're allowed to at some point. Like, this is what I was talking about. They're allowed to just. People are allowed to go in the shops,
right?
But then the woman in the shop's like, "Oh, they're looking for you."
They're looking for you, and also you're wearing your fucking Letterman's jacket. Like, how are they ever going to find you? I don't know. I'll wear an item with my name on it.
The greatest thing my dad did for me is he was like, "You don't need a Letterman jacket because the minute you leave high school, this thing is useless."
Yeah.
And I remember getting it my junior year, and he's like, okay, you can pay for it. And it costs like $100 or whatever, $80.
It's pretty expensive.
When I was in high school, and I was like, well, I'm not paying for that with my own money. Yeah. And it's true. Once you leave high school, it's pointless.
No, totally.
It's a relic.
So then they go, they cruise around the town with impunity, even though they're wanted. They go to the re-education camp and just hang out by the chain link fence. And I'm not like a professional, like I couldn't swim away from Alcatraz, but there's no guards around. You're able to just talk through the fence. And I don't know if you're familiar with the operation of chain link fencing, but they're pretty flimsy. And if you just reach down and pull up the bottom part of the fence, you could have fucking escaped the entire, like everyone could have gotten out. There was no one guarding it. The wanted men were standing at the fence, and they're like, hey, can I talk to my dad? And they're like, yeah, we'll get him. The dad is the dad is Harry Dean Stanton, right?
Yes. And they have to like call him down. So these wanted men are waiting by the fence for a while.
And then Harry Dean Stanton shows up and he's all bloody. So it's like, was he just being beaten for some reason? And then they're like, oh, hold on. My kid's at the fence. Can you hold off on the beating for a second? And then I'm just going to run over and talk to my kid who actually you guys are looking for. I'm going to go see how to.
Very confusing thing to me.
On the chain gang with Cool Hand Luke. Now he's just waiting for a dude in a Letterman jacket to rescue him. It's a real sad state of affairs for him.
Yeah.
This whole scene sets the stage for like their big revolution, but it's a brief speech. And they're sobbing on the fence like, dad. And he's like, yeah, I was real hard on you boys, but it was for this moment. So like, did the dad always think they were going to get invaded in the middle of Colorado?
So shitty parenting is excused away. He's like, hey, boys, I was a real shitty father. But this was to prepare you from when our 2 million troops got smoked by Nicaragua and Cuba. Hey, boys, this moment of my shitty parenting prepared you for when the other 49 states that should have been a buffer for Colorado got smoked.
It's real. And then he's like, avenge me. Avenge me. Like, what's he even talking about? Is he on pills? Yeah. It's a weird. Yeah.
And that's when Grandpa, right after that, is when Grandpa pawns off Tony and Erica, Jennifer Grey and Leah Thompson.
Yeah, they go to some random's house, and he's like, and then he's like, hey, anything you need, food, a bed, you can have it here. And then it's always weird when you know someone needs something, and then you're like, if you need anything, then you can come get it here. Just give it to him.
Right.
Just give him the stuff.
He's making them feel awkward.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'll make you come back, but I'll give it to you if you come back.
And then he's like, oh, you're going to need this. And he gives him like a pound cake, like tin or like something like that. And then he's like, here, have this. And they open it up and there's a radio in it that's frozen in ice. That radio's not gonna work. You can't submerge electronics in water and then freeze it, and then
this old man has no shit.
And then later thaw it out like it's a tri-tip and use it. That's not how electronics work. Things don't function like that. That's not gonna work. Crazy. See, Thomas Howell learns his dad is dead, but it doesn't matter because he's already drunk blood.
This is the least believable part of the whole movie for me. Yeah. I cannot believe C. Thomas Howell is a badass. No, doesn't work. Yeah. Pony but boy, you,
but you're forgetting
a badass.
Yeah. You're forgetting he shot the deer and then drank its blood. Now he's
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're
and
right.
Also, there's the scene where he's sawing off the shotgun and. That was a huge deal in 80s movies. Sawed off shotgun. Yeah. It just means like the thing scatters more. Like it doesn't. Yeah, there's no aim.
It's easier to hide under your trench coat like in the Terminator. Like this, it actually works better.
Is it a better weapon of war with the sawed-off shotguns?
No, it actually works better if it has the full barrel.
Like aim, right? It seems weird that that was like part of their strategy.
If you decide you want to kill all your friends with only a couple of shots that will spread out in your immediate area, that's when you saw
it's the shotgun. It's a Dick Cheney move, right? Yeah. If you just want to kill your friends. Yeah.
Face shots.
And it's also pretty lame because now they're starting to tag things Wolverines. So they're really attached to high school.
Yeah, they really are.
That's a jet thing.
They tag things USA. They're not fighting for the country. They're fighting for this fucking podunk high that school.
Is, well, it's kind of like San Dimas High School rules. Like it's like, it's you're just in that world. But it takes a while before they actually yell out the Wolverines. It's like on their first ambush mission, because then they get Leah Thompson and Ferris Bueller's sister, and they're like, okay, I guess you're coming with us. And then they're like all really good at riding horses sometimes. And the grandpa's like, stop by anytime. My granddaughters are hidden in the beet cellar. Like, take them with you. But then they're like, I didn't really get this, and mostly because I was looking at my phone when it happened, but they're like up there in the mountains and some Ruskies cruise up there. And then one Ruskie like reads English and he's like reading the sign to them, but he's like saying it like he's making up what the sign says. And then somehow, like, how are the bad guys alerted to the presence of Leah Thompson? She like steps on a rock or something.
They're kind of fucking around on that hill. It's very weird how they just keep moving. It's like, stop moving. Yep. It's not hard to hide from two guys that aren't looking for you.
Yeah, in trench coats. But then they kill a couple of them. They like shoot one guy with an arrow in the back.
One of the most awkward death scenes.
Yeah.
The way that guy just kind of shouts like he just got like bit in the ass by a dog.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, they're going to kill this guy. The bloodlust.
Yeah. No.
This is how like they all this is just murder, and the rest of them are them fighting troops. But what they do to these three guys is just like flat out, like, we murdered three guys up on a mountainside.
It was weird. They killed some guys, and then it's Swayze's real weird about it, where he's like, no one's allowed to cry. Like,
it would kind of be reasonable for a high school kid going through all this to just
cry.
Occasionally cry.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all scared to death. I mean, you were sobbing when your dad was screaming, avenge me on the fence. Now no one's allowed to cry.
Yeah. A lot of rules from this town loser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
We're going to spray paint Wolverines on everything because I played high school football years ago.
They ambush the fire. So they kill the Russian soldiers, then the Cubans or the bad guys, I don't know, it's a mix of bad guys. They go on a thing where they just start doing execution firing squads a lot. And then they get to jump the Wolverines get a jump on them at one of the firing squads, and they
it shows they're super skilled already.
Yeah, because they're shooting in the direction of the bad guys, but also from behind, so in the direction of the people that are in the firing squad, and they're able to only kill the bad guys and not accidentally like skip a bullet off the asphalt.
One person goes down.
No, they're fine. They're fine. 100% fine. Not an issue. But they like, and that's when they yell out the first Wolverines, which is really exciting because that's like the tagline for this movie. Is
maybe that's why I liked it so much when I was a kid. I don't know.
Yeah. Because you're a Michigan man.
Yeah.
So what else? They the mayor. So
this is where Powers Booth shows up, right?
Right. Yeah. So the Leah Thompson discovers a like downed fighter pilot in the bushes. He's like, he's ejected, and he's like holed up, like sleeping in the bushes. And it turns out it's Curly Bill from Tombstone. Powers Booth. And she's like, what? They're like, what kind of equipment you fly? And he's like, I fly an F-15. And maybe that's a problem, because this type of warfare is clearly designed better calls for the A-10 Warthog to come in and bomb all these tanks, the tank killer. Meanwhile, they're flying a fucking high-range bombing fighter, which doesn't seem like the best equipment to use. But this is where he talks about, they're like, he's like explains the war to them, and they're like, they came up through Cheyenne, and they're like all these like weird places in the middle of the country that no, that wouldn't be attacked, but are cheap for sets. And then they're like, oh, what else is going on? He's like, well, how about 600 million screaming Chinamen?
That's right. This is where he revealed it. Wasn't there a billion?
Yeah, and then he's like, there was. And it's so we're supposed to believe that the Russians waxed 400 million Chinese in the like, what? What's that detail? It's weird.
Yeah.
And Wade Powers Booth delivers these lines. He definitely thought he was getting a supporting actor nod for this.
No, he's treating it like he's in a real movie. He doesn't know. You know, he was probably only there for a couple days shooting his parts, and he's like showed up. He's earnest. He's, you know, despite the fact that he's like completely bald down the middle, he's still a young actor, and he's like, shit's going good.
He just died
like a couple years ago. Yeah, prostate cancer, I think. He's like, I got this. My career is about to blow up. I'm gonna do a performance here. And he attempts it. But meanwhile,
yeah, he tries.
Meanwhile, Leah Thompson's trying to get with him.
Yes.
Which is weird. And was very common in the 80s. In the 80s, it was very okay for underage people to have sex with adults. And it's weird.
Right. And then from this point forward, when they meet Powers Booth and they've drank blood, like at this point, they are the best soldiers in the world.
No, they're like a crack commando squad. They're pulling these ambushes. They never have a casualty. They always have the element of surprise, and they're just waxing tons of these Cuban / Nicaraguan / Russian military guys until they go on a tank mission. And this is when it's like snowing, and now they've become snow commandos.
Snow Rangers.
Yeah, they have like the snow suits on.
Right. This is
can
where
I just say something real quick about the Leah Thompson thing with Powers Booth. It would be
weird.
One thing if like, okay, we've all grown up, we've murdered people in cold blood, so I can act like an adult and have a sexual relationship with an older man. But they make her act like she's 12 courting this dude.
Yeah.
Like putting flowers on him while he's sleeping, and it's like, okay, well, this is now pedophilia because you're clearly not mentally with it enough to have a serious relationship. You have the brain of a 13-year-old girl. Like, right. You want to pass me notes.
Right, like, she's a pretty girl, but a girl.
It's weird.
She's a girl. She's not a woman. Like, she's not a young woman. She's a girl. And Jeannie Buehler is, like, even younger seeming. And right. yet... and I'll point out, I have a buddy that was in the military, and he texted me when I said I was watching this. And he said, "Feel like a group of untrained high school kids would have been taken out by a professional army within 24 hours." And who trained Baby from Dirty Dancing on the squad attach weapon, 50 caliber machine gun?
Yep.
The summer I spent in Quantico with the Marines, I went through like 20 briefings before I got near it. And she's like a junior or sophomore in high school and mowing down Russians.
Yeah.
Just ripping through them.
It's true.
Just no problems. No problems whatsoever. She was trained by the town loser who's still thinking about his his 127-yard rushing day 6 years ago.
Yep. Then we learn that the mayor's... So the mayor... And this is a weird relationship. Somehow the invaders need...
And that's the guy from Lois and Clark, right? The...
He's been in lots of stuff.
Yeah. He's worked.
Yeah. They need the mayor's assistance. And so the mayor still wears a suit and he like works with the generalissimo. It's confusing. But his son, Daryl, is out with, you know, he's part of Patrick Swayze's crew. And it turns out he's turned on him. He's he went into town one day. He was captured. He's been working with the Russians. He swallowed a bug, which gave them their location. And Patrick Swayze's like, well, we got to execute this guy. He's fucking turned. He's Benedict Arnold. You know, like we're out here. We're fighting for the cause. And this guy fucked us over. And he's like, it wasn't my fault. I didn't do it. And then Charlie Sheen's like, don't do it. You're going to make us the same as them. We're just like them. And Patrick Swayze gets second thoughts. But Soul Man doesn't have second thoughts. And he fucking like AKs him through the kidneys. Just like, bah, 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 like liver shot.
Yeah, he doesn't even seem to be struggling with it.
Yeah, no.
I'm going to murder my buddy.
Yeah, it was no his problem. Close friend.
And also, was this the point or was it a little after when they've been through battle, they've been murdering. You know what? Let's play a little touch football. Let's get at the football.
No, I think Powers Booth was still around when they were playing touch football.
And Sheen, I wrote this down, while they're playing football, he goes, you queers playing or what?
It's a different time.
Line, Chaz.
So good. And Swayze, he's constantly breaking his own rules. Like earlier, he's like, you never shoot two shots. You only shoot one shot because if you shoot a second shot, then they know where you are. Then he'll be like, bah, 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 like AK people. And then, and so then he breaks his own rules there. And then this one, he's told everyone they're not allowed to cry. And then he's just starts bawling for no reason.
Yeah, he's a real bitch.
Yeah. Huge bitch. Then
I think you've sold me, Ed. This guy's a fucking loser.
He's a bad leader, Swayze, at best. He's got a sweet truck.
Where'd they get the winter camouflage? Did I miss that part?
I think it might have been, because they're hijacking, they're ambushing. So maybe they got it off some dead Nicaraguans. Okay.
Well, they wouldn't have winter. I mean, Nicaragua is never equipped with winter camouflage. It's got to be the Russians.
Yeah, it could be the Russians. Then they're felled by a fruit basket. They're like getting ready to blow up a convoy because they're really adept at shooting RPGs now somehow.
Yeah.
And so they're about to blow up a convoy, but then a couple of boxes fall off the convoy, and there's like Entenmann's Danishes and Red Delicious apples and naval oranges that fall off the back of this truck. And then they have a weird thing where Swayze makes like a chipmunk sound where he's like, I can't even do it.
Nothing good.
I can't do it. And then they send Jeannie Bueller down where they're like, hey, go get that stuff. And it's two huge boxes that it would take a few people to, at least two, to go get. So I didn't really get that. Then she gets down there and she starts throating bagels like my dear friend Travis Rogers does at Albertsons, where she's just like fucking big, like, oh, and she's got Danishes and she's like, give me more.
She'd have to be built like China to pull off this mission. It's Jeannie Bueller. She's tiny.
She's tiny. And it's like, what was the plan? And then she like waves them all down. Wouldn't the better plan be to like send a couple people down, cover them with your AKs and RPGs while they bring the, like, you don't want to just be eating fruits out in the open, but they go down there with their horses, they collect all their fruit, and this turns out to be their undoing because they're eating all the fruit. There's C. Thomas Howell's like pouring Cheerios into his mouth.
I thought this movie, because I hadn't seen it in well over 30 years, I thought it was a little more triumphant. They really
it's pretty
fail
sad.
In the final third. They fail.
Yeah.
Yeah. They get fucked up.
So they show up that all of a sudden, out of nowhere, attack choppers show up. And Jeannie Bueller, I don't know how she's not, because these things have like Gatling guns on the side of them. I don't know how she's not ripped apart. But she's shot by an attack chopper. But then C. Thomas Howell is able to shoot an RPG directly into the window of one of these attack choppers.
Yeah, I guess shooting that deer really prepared.
Right. But then it's a rocket propelled grenade that lands a direct hit on an attack chopper. And what what happens is that it smokes a little bit and a guy falls out of it and then it flies away. And so maybe that's because, you know, they didn't have the budget.
Booth is already dead, right?
Booth's dead. And now,
you know, as he was going, he's like, if I only fucked that high school girl for us.
Yeah, no, it would have been worth it. Would have been worth it. Jeannie Bueller asks Swayze to kill her, and he's like, I can't. And she's like, okay. Then she's like, give me
a grenade.
Yeah, she's like, give me a grenade so she can Leon a guy. And then a guy comes over, and she's like, this is for Matilda. And she blows up a guy.
Spoiler. Jeez.
Yeah. They're really decimated. I think they're down to like four guys because C. Thomas Howell, he almost shoots down the helicopter, but then instead of like taking cover, he just stands in the middle of an open field while another helicopter sizes him up and just lays him out. So he's gone. So we're down to just a few people.
And it's the brothers. It's the loser.
Yep.
And Swayze. And the soon-to-be loser, yep, still wearing his Letterman jacket.
Yeah, so Swayze and Sheen are like, we're not long for this world. And they're like, we're going in. And they tell Leah Thompson and Danny that they're like, You guys live on without us, but we're gonna go make something happen. And they don't really
underrated. That's the underdog of the movie. Yeah. Danny is the one who's supposed to carry the torch.
Spoiler alert: he lives on. So, but then
fucking coward.
So Sheen and Swayze go on a suicide mission. But then the strangest thing about this movie, and there's a lot of weird shit happening in this movie. It's really just so many odd things. But there, Sheen's like wipes the snow off a family picture, and there's Swayze in his pads and his football jersey. And we learn that Swayze was a high school quarterback that wore the number 89. I mean,
fucking Mark Bavaro.
Yeah, like, what? I mean, Doug Flutie in his half jersey wearing 22 was a little weird.
Yeah.
89? You're playing QB? 89?
Like, and that's not even the weirdest scene of the next minute, because doesn't Superfly just let him go? Like, yeah, I'm cool with you guys.
So then the Colonel's lonely and he's like writing letters to his gay lover. And he's like, I cannot wait till I can caress your long black hair and suck that big cock of yours. And it's like really weird.
Wood.
And
he's writing to wood.
Yeah, he's writing to wood. This guy's...
He's listening to Curtis Mayfield. He's really feeling it.
Somebody make a meme of the Cuban Colonel from Red Dawn and Wood.
Fucking Superfly. I can't look at him any other way once I realize that.
So Sheen and Swayze stage a two-man assault. They killed one Russian guy. It's really like none of these bases are very well protected. Eventually,
it's almost like it's a base in the middle of a town that no one gives a fuck about.
It's crazy. Right. They're not even defending him. Swayze gets the drop on the Russian colonel, and then he's could easily just shoot him in the back. But instead he's like, hey, turn around. I'm right here. Turn around with your gun. And then you can also shoot me while I shoot you. And they end up shooting each other. Sheen is injured and Swayze's like carrying. Was it Sheen that got shot? I thought Swayze got shot.
Swayze was carrying Sheen already.
But they're both shot.
Right, but the reason why Superfly let him go is because it looked like they're already going to die.
Right, but then this Cuban colonel, who's shown himself throughout the movie to be a ruthless baby killer.
But he's
confronted by the banes of his existence for the last year in this town. The reason he can't get promoted, the reason he can't go home to his baby, and then they're right in front of him, and he's like, "Oh, it's okay." And he slams his
con Dios, right?
Yeah, he slams his AK to the ground, and then that's basically how the movie ends. They eventually so. Leah Thompson and Danny live on. And then there's a monument erected to them where they carved everybody's name in the rock. And I challenge you to try to carve a name into a rock with a knife. Just go try to do it right now. See how easy it is. But they did tons of names.
And also, like, this, they're building towards something, and then they just give us, like,
happens.
The most anticlimactic ending ever. Yeah. There's no, there's nothing.
And what's the, what's the
two main characters die on a park bench of fucking handsome death indeed, both of those guys. But they die, and then there's no more, then we just see a plaque.
What? You know, it says in the trivia that, like, they had to add the plaque scene to the end just to let the audience know that America won, because the ending tested so poorly with audiences.
It abruptly ended.
They're like, oh yeah, by the way, we won. I mean, like, we didn't fucking, it's not this dire. Like, we came back and won. They weren't supposed to. It was supposed to just end and be like, well, we're going to get to the safe zone and hopefully that's it. And then they had to change it.
And that's why it was just
named it Partisan Rock.
Yeah, Partisan Rock. What is that? Partisan Rock.
Wolverine Rock or something.
Partisan cool, Rock.
Like, yeah. Partisan Rock.
What's
partisan.
That even mean? Partisan.
Get out of here.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's Red Dawn. That's what happened in that movie. It's
fucking depressing.
It's a real piece of shit. One of the worst ones. It's not like Howard the Duck bad, but it's one of the worst ones we've done on the show by far. It's really, if you grew up around a certain time, you were real fired up for this movie. And if you go watch back and watch it now, it is just horrible. Really, it's, really it's bad like- movie.
Chew. It's a tough chew.
Yeah,
it's just really bad.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It feels like when I was like in sixth grade and my buddy's dad had a video camera. And we're like, all right, let's make a movie.
Yeah.
All right, first we're gonna have a bunch of kids defeat, let's say, the Soviets, Cubans, and Nicaraguans. Like, it doesn't feel like a real plot that anyone, any adult should come up with.
No, it's horrible.
I also can't think of another movie where, like, no good shit happens to the main characters. Like, there's no redeeming moments in this story.
That's a really good point.
Maybe Requiem for a Dream is the only movie I can think of where I'm never watching that again.
The high point was Powers Booth almost fucked a high school girl.
That's true.
I mean, he was resistant to it, but he was also kind of into it. You know, I would have liked to have seen that play out a little bit more.
I might fuck Caroline in the City right now, so I'm gonna go with
it. Lorraine McFly. Okay, guys, anything else to add? Anything we missed here?
No. Let me know what you want to do another Swayze.
Okay, well, yeah, we'll definitely do it. Okay, I really appreciate it. For Mark the Nomad, for Ed Daly, my name is Brian Beckner. A few more movies coming up, so pay attention to this feed. We know everybody's kind of like in a holding pattern. The world is nuts right now. We're all like in our houses for the most part. It's just
I would say we're all in our houses and going crazy. Or I respect you more if you've got a job where you have to be out.
Totally. Absolutely.
Feel for you. That sucks.
Yep. Much love and respect to everybody in our audience. We're going to just try to bust out a few of these movies to just kind of like help fill the day for you guys. So, you know, listen, tell your friends, and just kind of, you know, lose it for an hour and a half or so while we talk to you about stupid movies. So, for Mark the Nomad, for Ed Daly, my name is Brian Beckner. This has been episode 312 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. We will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Weekly, that's what we do with Easy Ed Daly and a man, Jay Stew, and Brian Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Plus, you know there's Kate with a C, but she's known as Fancy Pop to you and me. Talking loud, covers conundrums, my brothers. Reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless.